Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things, mercifully give us faith to perceive that according to his promise, he abides with his church on earth, even to the end of the ages. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen. Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe. According to the working of his great power, God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses to these things. And I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I heard a joke this week. Are you ready? A young man was ushering on a Sunday morning in church, and an elderly woman enters the church, very elegantly dressed. He offers her his arm and says, "Where would you like to be seated, ma'am?" "I would like to be seated up in the front, in either the first or second row," she said. She didn't sound like an Episcopalian to me. So the young man was ushering her and walking up the center aisle when he stopped for a moment and looked at her and said, "Ma'am, let me help you out just a little bit. Our pastor is really boring when he preaches. Now, if you sit in the first row or the second row, he's going to look directly at you. So it would be hard to sort of space out or daydream. Or if you brought a book, you really can't read it if you're in the front row or the second row. But if you sit in the middle, well, he can't see you as well. So that's what I would advise." She looked at the young man and said, "Son, do you know who I am?" No, he said. "I am the pastor's mother." Gulp. "Oh, okay," he said, and he ushered her up to the front row and sat her down carefully, and then he leaned in and said, "Excuse me, ma'am, do you know who I am?" And she said, "No, I don't." And he said, "Oh, good," and then he ran. Some sometimes there are people that we really can't wait to leave. This weekend is a weekend of graduations, and I was at the graduation of the Episcopal School of Jacksonville yesterday, and one of the student speakers stood up and said, "Oh, I'm going to miss so many of my classmates, and there are a few that I probably won't miss." Today is a weekend of saying goodbye. And I don't think it's coincidental that we also celebrate Jesus leaving us today. Today is what's called the Feast of the Ascension. It is the day that Jesus physically, literally, was lifted up into heaven. It's the holiday in which we celebrate that he left. And to tell you the truth, I've always really had a hard time with that. Why do we celebrate the fact that Jesus left us? After the resurrection, he appeared over and over again. He appeared while the disciples were fishing. He appeared while they were out for a walk. He appeared while they were in a room hanging out. He just kept on showing up. And I don't know about you, but I kind of would rather if he just kept showing up today, too. I mean, I think I'd be a little more nervous, probably a little more well-behaved. But wouldn't it be amazing if the resurrected Christ still appeared physically? I really would love to look at his face. So why do we celebrate the fact that he left? Why couldn't he just keep on showing up? In the New Testament, the story of the Ascension is told not once, but twice. It's told in the Gospel of Luke, and then it's told again in the book of Acts. And the strange part about all this is when you begin to study the New Testament, you realize that Luke and Acts are actually one book. They're volumes 1 and 2 of the same book, written by Luke the physician who traveled with Paul. They're letters written to a man named Theophilus, which means lover of God. But if both books were written by Luke, why did he tell the same story twice? Why would he tell about the ascension at the end of his gospel and then again in the beginning of the book of Acts? He must have really wanted us to be sure of the fact that Jesus left. It must have been important to him, this event of the ascension. The truth is that human beings are designed to leave. Our bodies don't last. They're always changing. You know that. I know that. As much as we might try to hold on to our health, to our youth, it doesn't last. And we're constantly trying to hold on to many things, to our stuff, to our money, to our loved ones. We don't want to lose any of that. But the truth is that we will. We are designed to leave this earth. We're created, formed and shaped from the dust, and we go back to the dust. We leave. This is not our permanent home. Oh, and we can fight that all we want. I mean, I remember many years ago, I lived in Connecticut across the street from a woman, and she held on more than anyone I have ever met before. She was very old, and she lived in a huge home that she could not manage. She didn't want anyone to come inside because probably it was a disaster in there. I remember going over to her house and knocking on the door to give her some cookies. And she had a horrible gaping wound on her leg. "Oh, it's fine. It's getting better," she said. "Don't you dare call anyone." Well, I couldn't sleep that night. So I did call someone, and they took her to the hospital. She stayed away for over a month. And when she came back, she was so mad at me that when I knocked on the door, she would not answer. She died in her home. They found her body on the kitchen floor. The only reason they knew she had died was because her mail had piled up so high. When Jesus came, he showed us how to live. He was both human and God. But as a human, he had to show us how to be on this earth, how to pray and how to serve, but he also had to show us how to leave, because that's what's part of being human. So Jesus shows us today how to leave. And he doesn't run away and he doesn't hide. He could have just simply stopped appearing, but that's not what he did. He gathered the people that he loved together, all of the disciples, and he prayed with them, and he blessed them, and he told them that God would be with them in the Holy Spirit. And then physically, bodily, in front of their very eyes, he left. He was honest. He was straightforward. He told them he was leaving, and he said goodbye, promising them that God would still be with them. A couple of weeks ago on a Saturday, there was a funeral. I couldn't attend. I was out of town. It was the funeral for Charlie Towers. Many of you knew him. He was a very well-known attorney in the city. Charlie Towers planned his funeral very carefully. Now, I wasn't there, so I may not get all the details right, but I've heard from a number of people that what he did was he actually filmed himself before he died. And they showed this film. And Charlie says, "I don't want any of you getting too sad today. Give thanks, I've had a great life. And I'm gonna have some people get up and talk because they're gonna talk about the charities and the things that I have given to. And these are important. So listen to them." And then he said, "I want you all to come to know Jesus. Because if you come to know Jesus, then like me, you won't be afraid and you can make your funeral a celebration." I heard about this and I couldn't believe it. I said to my friend, "Wow! Charlie Towers did an altar call from the grave. That's amazing." We all have to leave. But the question is, how are you going to do it? And you must form a relationship with the one who will never leave you. Remember in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I go ahead of you to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. I'm going to make a place for you so that where I am, there you will be also." There's only one person who can go with you, and that's God. So it's so important that we let go of everything that we can't hold on to. You've got to practice giving your stuff, your money, and not holding on to your relationships either, because you can suffocate the people that you love. You must let them go. When I think of the Ascension, I kept picturing in my mind this image when Max was about four or five. We had just moved here, and he wanted to learn to ride his bike. There was a little piece of land, and the road went around it, little park. And so I would run beside his bike holding on. You know how you do that when someone's learning to ride their bike? And your back hurts after a while, you know? So I'm running along holding his bike, and he's saying, "Mom, are you holding on? Are you holding on?" "Yeah, I still got it. I'm holding on." "Mom, keep holding on. Keep holding on." "I'm holding on. I'm holding on." "Mom, don't let go. I won't let go." "Okay." But then at some point I say, "Max, I'm going to let go now." "No, don't let go. Don't let go. Max, I'm letting go now." And I let go. And he kept on pedaling. And he was riding. I think it was important for Jesus to hold on to us for a while and then to say, "Okay, I'm letting go now. Go on. I'll still be with you, but not physically. I'll always be with you in my spirit." It's so amazing. At the end of the gospel, it says that the disciples left after the ascension and went back to Jerusalem, and their hearts were filled with joy. Now that's a good leaving. They must have missed him, but their hearts were full of joy. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for showing us the path to eternal life. Risen Lord,
hear our prayer.
We ask your blessings on all who have died, that they may know the joy of the resurrection life. I invite you to speak their names aloud.
Don, Greg, John, June.
Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are ill, lonely, or suffering in any way. May they find the peace that passes all understanding. I invite you to speak the names of those who need our prayers.
Isabella, Alice, Ron.
Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all victims of violence, especially for Christians who are being persecuted around the world, that they and their families may find peace and strength. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those who serve in the military, for their family and friends, that they may be held in the palm of your hand. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for peace throughout the world, especially in the Middle East, that there may be understanding among races and peoples. We also pray for the earthquake victims of Nepal. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the good use of our natural resources, that we may be led to nurture and maintain this planet. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the city of Jacksonville. Help us to care for this city. Bless our government and our schools. Help us to show your love here in the core of downtown. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for this cathedral and for those who walk through these doors, that we may be led to glorify you in all things. We give thanks for all the blessings of this life. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for the ascension of your Son, Jesus Christ, that he showed us how to live in love. May we follow in his footsteps. This we pray in his name. Amen. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. How is everyone today? So good to see you. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift. Welcome. Welcome. And so brave to sit in the front, too.
That's so I can hear.
That's so you can hear. Good. Keep your hands up, okay? So they'll come and bring you a gift. Welcome, everyone. We have a special guest this morning. Father Raja's dad, Benny, is a church organist who has played for how many years, Father Raja?
62 years.
He has played the organ in a church in Jordan for 62 years, and we have brought him here. There he is. We also want to welcome Father Raja's sister, Maha, who has come to help him. Thank you so much for coming. We are blessed to have our brothers and sister Christians from the Middle East, and I hope you will talk to them about what's going on over there, because it is very frightening, and we have to keep praying and hoping for good things. So we're welcome. We're so glad you're here. Don't forget to wear your name tags on Sundays. It's so great that you can call each other by name. Name tags are hanging in the hallway, and there is a list, isn't there, Sue, somewhere that you can sign if you want a name tag and there isn't one. Write your name down and we'll make sure you get one. Are you still feasting? Do you realize we're still in the season of Easter? I'm still going to Starbucks every day. And you know what? I'm getting kind of tired of it, to be honest with you. I never would have thought. Pentecost is next Sunday, and we are going to celebrate the birth of the church. We'll be confirming and receiving lots of new Episcopalians. We also have 12 birthday cakes for the 12 months of the year. This is some kind of a tradition that I inherited. I'm not sure why, but we have 12 birthday cakes after the 9 and another 12 after the 11. So if you're good at baking, please sign up to make a birthday cake. Tonight at 5 o'clock, there is a reunion for Curcio people who have gone to Curcio here at the cathedral. Bring a covered dish to share. In 2 weeks, there is a wonderful event going on here in downtown Jacksonville. It happens to coincide with our baptismal Sunday, so we'll be baptizing with water, and then you can go outside and slide down the urban slide. Have you all heard about this? It's going to be a huge water slide set up on Market Street, going to take over the whole street. You can buy your tickets online. There should be a link on our website, on our e-newsletter, or you can look up Urban Slide. It's supposed to be amazing. If you don't want to slide, at least you should come out and watch everybody go down that incredible thing. Also, after church on that Sunday, which is the last Sunday in May, Richard Samuels will be talking about his experience in Sierra Leone, working with orphans there, combating the Ebola virus. Richard, would you wave your hand up there in the back? There's Richard. He's a very faithful parishioner who has come home from Sierra Leone. There is a newcomer social next Wednesday, May 27th, and two other simple things. We're getting ready for messy church in the summer, which is at 9 o'clock in Tolliver Hall. You can eat breakfast, paint, read the scripture, talk with your families, all that. And we need volunteers to help with both messy church and to sign up to cook breakfast during the summer. Remember to be generous with your church as our Lord has been so generous with you.
Thank you.
We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Please join me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitor who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.